Found myself this morning searching because of some of the words that we had at the Bible study on Friday that was still kind of hounding my heart. How many know sometimes a word can just come back and return and return? And it was about the anointing. And I find that a lot of the different Bibles cause kind of a different understanding of what God wants to do. And I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just trying to give you, sometimes God will send me to a different Bible just to get me to see something that I didn't comprehend. And so there are times, as you notice, I bring the Amplified because God wants to pound something home. And on Friday, we ended up kind of having a different type of Bible study, which was fine. And we ended up learning something, and part of it was about the anointing. And I'd like to kind of quickly share that part with you. And in Hebrews chapter 6, how many know that Jesus doesn't have a last name? In other words, Christ is not his last name. It's not Kim Bergeron or Jesus Christ. It's Jesus, the Anointed One. The word Christ, I looked up in both the Hebrew and in the Greek. In the Hebrews, if I pronounce it correctly, it's expioros, and it means anointed. In the Greek, it's Christo, also meaning anointed. But the root word is expio in Hebrew, and it's krio in Greek. And I love the krio part because it really spells out something kind of neat. It, all of them mean anointed. But in krio, it adds the level of contact or rub with oil. And the other comment is smeared with oil. Now, how many know the Holy Spirit is many times represented by oil? Amen. Smeared, contact, rub with, etc. Anointed. So whenever you see the word Christ in the Word of God, you are sometimes referring to the Anointed One, which means Him, but it also can mean who?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Us. No, us.
Oh.
Me. You. I am anointed to preach the good news today because I inherited the same Holy Ghost that Jesus got.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Now that was pretty easy. You passed that test pretty good. But in Hebrews chapter 6, if you have an Amplified Bible, they add an amplification to it, and they really refer this only to the Lord. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to ignite inside of you, to ignite a truth today, that the Anointed One is you. Verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about the anointing and to go on to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instructions about baptism and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Now, those few verses is what we discussed a little bit on Friday. And I was trying to make a point about each one of us being responsible to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We are the ones that need to wake up and get that anointing in us so that it'll flow out from us to whom?
Others.
To others. And how do I do that? Well, I become anointed. How do I get anointed? How many know we have selfish anointings? Okay, well, that was my other message this morning. He showed me, and this is, I quote, I will read to you from my notes. Seeing self, turning self over to Jesus, let him heal and set you free from self and all of its demands and its desires. Now that's my prayer. If you want to join in on it, that's up to you. I rejoice in letting Jesus come by his Holy Spirit and activate my spirit man to strengthen my inner man that I may know. Know what? Know me. And know him. So as I was pondering on those words, I kept hearing, that I may know him. That I may know, that I may comprehend, that I may understand him. Now, I knew that came from Ephesians. So those of you who brought your Bible, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 16. Now this is St. Paul talking to the church in Ephesus, and he is giving instruction to change and radically impact that city. There wasn't 20 churches in Ephesus, there was one. They hadn't begun to argue about all the odds and ends yet. Isn't that good news? Verse 16 says, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Spirit indwelling your inmost being and personality. My inner man. Who can tell me what my inner man is?
My spirit.
I sometimes will refine my spirit and define it as my heart, the inner part or the core of my inner man. My inner man is really like if you break an apple open and you find the little interior where all the seeds are. Well, my inner man is loaded with seeds of life. Jesus says, out of your inner man will flow rivers of
living water.
Oh, you know that part. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good. So in your inner man is your spirit, and your spirit has an ability to really transform the outer man. But there's a war going on. I remember when Doug came over, he told us about the beast. And this morning when one of the ladies anointed me, I literally went on a short trip. I went to her house. And I saw Sylvester. And of course, that's another part of what we talked about on Friday. And Bob's words, by the way, Sylvester, is Bob and Peggy's cat. He happens to be about yay long. He is totally black, angora hair. He's got this incredible white face. He looks just like Sylvester in the cartoon character. And of course, that used to be one of my favorites when I was a kid. And Bob says, if I was a cat, I would love to be like Sylvester because he is actually quite proud. He thinks he is the best gift to the town of Thorndike, and we might agree with him. All right. Now, what does that have to do with you and me? How many know that in Genesis, God created man in his image? Well, before I heard many of the messages about sonship, about third day, about transformation of the inner man, about all those books that I've read over the years, God impacted my life one day by telling me that I was to be clothed from the inside out. So look at your neighbor and say, it's time you start getting clothing from your inside out. See, because Sylvester's garments come from within him. Yes? The birds of the air get dressed from within themselves. Yes? The animals in the kingdom of the animals get dressed from the inner out. What is wrong with us? We get dressed and we borrow from the what? The animal kingdom. How many of you got leather shoes on? Yeah, you're wearing beastly shoes. Yes, it comes from some kind of beast, right or wrong? So you walk in beastly shoes. Isn't that intense? I happened to catch a little tiny advertisement on how the women used to wear fur coats to Bob Barker's program. Did anybody see it? And he was the first one that said, I'm quitting because women shouldn't be wearing fur. Well, guess what? God dressed up Adam and Eve in... Oh, poor Sylvester. If he was the one that would have been close by and Peggy would have been wearing Sylvester clothes. Well, you laugh, but Bob would have probably worn the other half. What am I saying to you? God had to cover their nakedness because they found themselves naked. They had never seen themselves naked before. What had they lost?
Their innocence.
I'm getting all kinds of response. I need some hands. Bob?
The light.
The light.
Their covering.
Their covering, which was? God?
Innocence.
Innocence?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Their inner clothing. Now, a lot of these answers are right. But God showed me that in the scripture on the mountain of transfiguration, Jesus was restored to fullness of Godhead. And he radiated what?
Light.
So light is correct. Radiated from the inside out. So what's your future going to be? Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to radiate his glory? Do you want to radiate instead of the beastly nature that you walk in now on shoes of light? Huh? Trousers of light or garments of light coming from the inside out. Now tell me what would happen when you would walk out of your house tomorrow, God deciding that he wants to transform you overnight. Because the scripture says it'll come as a thief and you will be
transformed,
changed. Huh. And everybody wants to book out. Let's not book out, let's book in. Let's look in. Let's see why self is so darn stubborn that doesn't want to give your spirit man an authority that it was designed to have. Amen? So tomorrow, hometown USA, back street, you walk out of your door and you realize you are now clothed in glory. What happens to your neighborhood?
It is transformed.
Huh?
They get changed?
No, they get upset.
They call the cops.
They call the cops. We've got an alien in our street. Unidentified what? Unidentified?
Object.
What is this? What has happened? And you speak, and they respond by falling on the ground. Well, now they want to build a tent. They want to build a tabernacle over your house. They want to worship at your house. And what are you going to tell them? Not I, but the Anointed One. Amen. We worship Him and Him alone. You're going to shake your neighborhood when you get changed. Paul was praying. Let's look at it again. Do you want him to answer this prayer? Well, some of you are thinking about it. May He grant you out of the rich treasures of His glory. What did Jesus get dressed on? His glory. The glory of the Father came upon Him, and He was glorified before them. And it's going to happen to whom? Oh my, don't start debating. Realize what God is saying. May He grant you out of His rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced by the mighty power in the inner man. That's in your spirit man. And you will radiate His glory by the Holy Spirit Himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. Now, I have a split personality. You say, that's not a good confession, Kim. But I do. It's split. It's His and my will having a war. Himself and myself wanting both our ways. And who wins most of the time? Who wins? I do. The selfish part of me wins. But I'm asking Him to take that inner war out of me and lay it down at His feet. And I constantly go backwards because I find that as I try to do good, I end up Romans 7. So my sin nature is so powerful. And my sister said to me this morning, can you tell us why the soul is so strong and the spirit is so weak?
Huh? Because we've been feeding the soul more than the spirit. Oh.
We've been feeding the soul more than the spirit. Is he right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you see who's teaching this morning? The body is teaching each other. Pete, you're right on target. And how do I feed this beast nature? After all, I'm still wearing shoes made out of, except for our sister here. She's got these fancy little ones. Yeah. Hers are made out of petroleum. So she had to go digging even deeper. Uh-huh.
By dabbling into the things of the world.
Yeah.
We feed it. Looking at things we shouldn't look at and going places we shouldn't be.
But what are we trying to do?
Lust of the flesh.
Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. The pride of life. Yep. Why are we doing it?
Why are we doing it? Because of the beast nature.
Because of the beast nature, we're doing it. We also like to be accepted. Mm-hmm. Men? I like to fit in. I don't like to rock the boat. When I rock the boat, what happens?
It makes me uncomfortable.
I don't like uncomfortable.
All this rejection.
Can't handle the rejection. Boy, you guys are smart. So as we continue to try to stay comfortable, instead of being radical, we feed the
soul.
We feed the soul. That's right. We feed the beast, which is the soul. Mind, will, and emotions. And we constantly do this without even realizing we're doing it because we're in the habit of serving Self. All right. We're in the habit. How many have this habit? Okay. Watch yourself when you go to the refrigerator. See how well you can control yourself. Okay? Or when you decide that you're going to watch something that's going to entertain your flesh. And I'm not trying to be that you're going to have to move yourself into a radical place like they did in years ago and build a monastery in some kind of a hidden place in the mountains and live like a hermit. Because then you won't be no earthly good. How do you change it? I've been trying to change it, and it doesn't work. The more I try, the more I... Because I am in the flesh, controlling it my way. Trying to overwhelm it my way. I remember one time I said to the Lord, I need to lose weight. And I heard, put yourself on a diet. Who was talking? Who said me was? That's right. I was. I even saw when I was up in New Hampshire a pamphlet from one of the ministries that a gentleman went to a service and the anointing for losing weight was there.
I haven't seen it, but I heard one person dropped 50 pounds in the service or something?
Dropped 50 pounds in one service, went back the next afternoon because he had his pants fixed that night when he came home because he couldn't wear them. And then he lost another 50 pounds at the noon service, and when he went back that other night, he lost another 50 pounds. So he decided to buy new pants.
What's this guy's address?
I saw the pictures.
This happened to Leo Paris, I don't know if you remember from his painting.
Yeah.
That was huge. I mean, he was a
little... Yes. So you see, God is what? Saying, I can handle this problem. And if you let Him do it, He will do it His way. If you try to do it out of control, out of self, out of the old nature, you will accomplish what?
Nothing.
Oh yes, you will accomplish one thing. Frustration. Anger, bitter resentment towards your disability, your inability, and you'll be arguing and fighting with whom?
No.
Yourself. Instead of laying him down and saying, God, I can't do this. I can't do it. Well, don't tell me I can't do it. Tell the 5-year-old he can't do it. He'll prove to you he can. How many are still 5 years old? Thank you. I am still 5 years old. And you know, Peggy, the other day I heard your message and I was so blessed because you were talking about self. And I said, God, this is one of our biggest wars. You know, and God says, no, it's not. It's your biggest fight because you fight with it all the time. And if you would just lay it down and let me handle it, it wouldn't be so big. It would get smaller and smaller as you let me in charge. And build yourself up in your most holy faith. How do you build yourself up? Okay.
Through the Word.
Through the Word. What else?
Prayer.
What kind of prayer?
Spirit
prayer. Ruth. Jude, verse 20. In your book of Jude, verse 20. Actually building up your inner man. How do you strengthen him? I can remember having my first discussion of real strength with my pastor years ago. And he looked at me and he says, your commission from me is this. Build up the inner man. Develop your spiritual senses. Then I met this other wonderful man from Washington State who drove me nuts. Yes, he did. He irritated me because he took all my religious doctrines and he flicked them off the train. And he says, get off of that stuff. Go back to the Word and see what Jesus says about all this stuff that you've learned. And I'm not trying to be anti-stuff. I'm trying to tell you that the core of your whole salvation is Jesus Himself. And by His Holy Spirit, you will be able to overcome. He is more than a conqueror in me. And this morning as I was driving in, I kept hearing this wonderful song. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes? Bind us together in love. With whom? With self. If you love self the way it is and you stop fighting that poor thing and let God transform it and build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit, by speaking in the Spirit, by speaking out that which is given to you to give out to the neighborhood, to those on the job, to your family. Build them up. Don't criticize forever. Don't you already know what happens when you criticize? You reap what? And as you criticize and find fault with them, what are you doing? You're setting yourself up for what?
Judgment.
Matthew 7, Romans 2. The very thing that you accuse them of, you're guilty of yourself. So, stop it. Stop feeding the beast, my brother said. How do you stop feeding the beast? Stop fighting with self. Start building self up. And as you pray in the Holy Ghost, as you pray and rejoice that God is in charge and He is transforming you, then you'll turn the pattern around. And the inner man will have more ability, and you'll have more dreams and visions and words of knowledge. And you will be transformed. You won't be the old, you'll be the new. You want to be the new? It's going to cost yourself. That's what you need. More of Him and less of
me.
See, it's things we know, but it's got to be put together. It's got to be understood that you're not going to be your own worst enemy anymore. That the transformation of that inner man is by the glory of God that it's going to get done. And yes, it will shake your neighborhood. Because you're going to be a lover of the neighbor that can't stand you.
Amen.
Instead of building a fence, you'll build a wall of love. How many of you have got a few neighbors they can't handle? Buy them some flowers. All right. I remember many years ago, someone had been absolutely unbelievably rude to me. And it's somebody that should have known better, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, prayed in the Spirit, wonderful person, when you rubbed them like this all the time, just like the kitty cat. Don't go the other way. Just go the right way. Okay? So if you pet the beast, it was fine. But somehow, I must have gone the other way and irritated its coat. And this thing had teeth and fangs. Big, big ones. Okay? And big claws. Now yours is declawed, but this one was real. And I mean, it snarled, it growled, it did all those things, it hissed, and it took a chunk out of me. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? My wife was right next to me when this happened, so she is now on a rampage. She wants to defend her husband, and wonderful wife, wonderful, wants to defend him. And guess what I heard? Go and buy something very special for this person. Have it wrapped. Have it very specially packaged. And put it at their door. And run the other way. So my wife is saying, are you out of your tree? She says, yes. My old roots are being pulled up right now because I'm going to choose to do it God's way. So I went off and I did my errand and I bought this item. And I don't remember how much, but it was quite a bit. And I knew this person quite well for a number of years, so I knew exactly what they liked. And I bought what I knew they would really love. Had it wrapped. I didn't dare have it done myself because I could feel the anger inside of me. So I went, at that time it was Forbes and Wallace. And I paid the extra $3 to have a real nice thing to put on. And I had it wrapped, and off I went, delivered it to the door. Came back down and told my wife that mission accomplished. She says, "You really did it?" I says, "I really did it." Now, let's just agree that this spirit of love will just overwhelm this enemy. She says, "You really, really did this?" I says, "Yeah, I did. I did." Well, needless to say, the beast was shattered. Overwhelmed by love. And they came downstairs and says, "Why did you do this?" "Because we love you." And the tears started to roll down their cheeks and down my cheeks. Today, I can tell you that you have a treat coming. Pete went out of his way to bake some love. I was very blessed on Friday because we had a preview of what you've got coming, ladies. Because last week was Mother's Day, and there was an agreement by the men that there would be some baking done by us, and you're to enjoy that today. Let it be the gift that we bring to you to impart our love to you. And whether you bought it out of your wallet or bought it, or it doesn't matter which way it came, as long as it came. If you forgot, it's not the end of the world. There'll be another time. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, give out love. You'll change the world. Give out the good things that you see in each other. You'll change your home. Give out harmony instead of critical words, and watch what the Holy Spirit can do. I want to take you down just a few verses, but I want to read verse 16 again. "May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power, not just an ordinary power, mighty power, in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in my heart." Now, I changed the words because I want it to be mine. In my heart. "May you be rooted deeply in love and founded securely in love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That you may really come to know, knowledge, inner knowing, practically, through experience for yourself, not somebody else's experience, through your own experience, that the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be the fullness of God, that is, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself." Amen. Amen. Did you?